What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Unless you promise your college football quarterback a ton of money, you don't make good on said promise, and then he decides, hey, you know what? I'm done playing for you. But that wouldn't happen, right?
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good heap. At least those of you that still exist in this lawless, lawless world. It's supposed to be a society. Supposed to have trust, man. We're supposed to believe each other's word and be men and women of our word. It's your boy Theo Dorsey, riding with you here on a Wednesday hump day, middle of the week. And this story out of Las Vegas, which is a place where C-Cat, my guy who's on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos, you actually recently visited on behalf of the Big 12, right, for media days. That's a lawless city. It's Sin City.
Sure did. Got in a lot of trouble out there. Kept it off the radio airwaves, though.
Yeah, why didn't you share that with us when you came back? I know there was a little bit of mischief out there in Vegas.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I thought you were going to leave me on a cliffhanger there. I thought you weren't going to finish that saying. But honestly, yeah, that's what they say. They say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Except for when things happen in the world of college football, especially something like a starting quarterback who had a team that was primed to not only maybe have the best season in modern history for UNLV, but also potentially be one of those dark horses to make the 12-team college football playoff this year as the Group of Five squad. UNLV competes in the Mountain West. UNLV is 3-0, and also the Rebels have beaten Kansas. They've beaten Houston, two Big 12 teams, and if you ask me, like, nobody knows this far, this early in the college football season what the hell is going to happen with the 12-team playoff. You look at their schedule, you look at the Mountain West, you assume they were primed to actually make a run at this thing. But money got in the way, and there's a lot of people lining up right now to try and poo-poo Matt Sluka, who is a grad transfer. He came by way of Holy Cross. This is his first year with UNLV. And I think first we have to continue to learn the details of the story. So I'll give you info on that. I'll give you info on that, and then I'll tell you why y'all need to lay off the kid who is literally only trying to hold adults, grown folk, at their word. So this is kind of how it all shook out, right? Sluka was a huge prospect in the transfer portal coming out of Holy Cross as a quarterback, a dual threat guy. He actually had one game, C-Cat, where he ran for over 300 yards with Holy Cross.
I think
330 was the number. So the dude is not like, it's not like a joke. Like, the dude is actually good, and he proved that out through the first 3 weeks of the season. So as he's looking to transfer out of Holy Cross to get into the big boy college football land, he's sifting out offers to go places. Apparently UNLV, not their head coach, but as it's outlined in this Pete Thamel article on ESPN.com, their offensive coordinator, Marcus Cromartie, Sluka's agent and his father are both saying the offensive coordinator promised him a verbal offer of $100,000 to go play for the Rebels. And you know what he said? Coming out of Holy Cross as a guy that didn't have a lot of offers coming out of high school, as a guy that didn't have much in the way of making bread, playing football, because I'm not sure he's really a pro prospect, he says, sign me up. I get to go to Vegas, make $100,000, and play starting quarterback for a Rebels franchise or program that was a 9-win team last year? Like, who wouldn't want that offer?
It's a good job.
It's a great job. It's a great job. The only problem with that job was UNLV apparently is not holding up their end of the bargain, and this is where things get a little bit convoluted. This is where it gets a little murky. So according again to this ESPN article on ESPN.com right now from Pete Thamel and Adam Rittenberg, UNLV and Shannon Cottrell, who is the director of athlete engagements for the Friends of UNLV Collective, he's the one that handles the bag when it comes to the folks that do the actual NIL deals. They didn't respond for comment, but UNLV's collective did say that they would pay Sluka $3,000 for the next 4 months. So if you add up $3,000 times four, what does that get you? Like, what, $12,000?
Great at math.
That's a little short. That's a little short. If you promise me $100,000 to come play college football for you as a quarterback, be in the limelight, try to carry this program to a place it's never been, and that's what he's done so far. They're actually ranked in the coaches poll, number 23 right now, the highest they've ever been. In fact, the only time in program history they've been ranked in any poll. He's holding up his end of the bargain by playing good football. They're offering him $12,000. That's not what we talked about.
No, not at all. He was offered, at least verbally,
yeah,
he claims, a full-time non-entry-level position at that company, and he was given a part-time internship.
Yeah, part-time internship, and not even one where it's like, well, you don't have to do as much work. No, you're still going to work just as hard as you would for that full-time job, for that main corner office job, but you're going to get paid like a part-time intern. And that's the holdup. That's the holdup right here. All right, further in the story along, UNLV goes on to go 3-0. He and his father and apparently his agent are all coming to UNLV, not just the collective, but also they're coming to the head coach, and they're like, yo, where's the bread? Where's the dough? We out here balling. We would like to be compensated like y'all previously stated. And the head coach of UNLV, who again was able to be contacted, the head coach of UNLV wrote it off as apparently from, this is from the father of the quarterback who decided to transfer, who again, he's redshirting. His one power, if you're a player in these situations, is just to withhold your, withhold your services, right? Like,
yeah,
he's a senior. He's not going to have another year of eligibility if he doesn't redshirt. So through three games, he can redshirt and then transfer to another school next year. The father apparently was told by the head coach that because that verbal offer was made by the offensive coordinator, it doesn't stand. So a little bit of miscommunication there. A little bit of misinformation right there. And if you ask me at this point, this is where Sluka probably looked at himself in the mirror and said, I have no option but to withhold my services. I have no option but to play the one card that I have in this scenario. I've asked you, head coach, where's my money? I've asked guy who promised it, offensive coordinator, where's the bread you promised me this winter to come here and play quarterback for y'all? And also, I'm delivering on the field. It's not like they're struggling out of the gates and he doesn't have any kind of leverage. That team needs him. He's been balling out. So then last night it happens, and this is like 12:30 a.m. Sluka puts out this message on X, on Twitter, whatever you want to call it. It says, I have decided to utilize my redshirt year and will not be playing any additional games this season. I committed to UNLV based on certain representations that were made to me. That would be the $100,000, which were not upheld after I enrolled. Despite discussions, it became clear that these commitments would not be fulfilled in the future. I wish my teammates the best of luck this season and hope for the continued success of this program. And much to my surprise, because my inclination is always to believe the athlete over the organization, right? Like organizations, governmental bodies, people in authority, like generally speaking, they lie a lot, right? Like they're trying to influence you to do things on their behalf that benefit them. So I'm much inclined to always say, well, hey, maybe he has a point. There's a reason why he's walking away from the game that he loves right now. And it's not some kind of, I'm greedy. I'm going for a bigger bag elsewhere. I was shocked, C-Cat, how many people lined up to take shots at this dude as if he was being selfish. And we're talking about a program, a college football program, a place that's supposed to be showing young men how to mature into great civilians of this world, great men of this world. They're not standing up to their word. I'm absolutely appalled at all the haters out there coming at Sluka. And also, I'm fully in support of his decision to take his talents away from a place that was not good enough to stand on their word. My grandpa had one thing. His main slogan, and my grandpa was a man's man, built his own house out there in Bridge City, Louisiana, a little suburb of New Orleans, out there on the West Bank, was a dude who literally, not only did he build his own house, raised his own cattle and farm, had all his stuff. He kind of self-made man. He would also help other people out in the neighborhood. He had one thing. All a man's got is his word. UNLV didn't live up to their word. Sluka has the right to leave. And all of y'all that are hating on my guy, y'all need to look yourselves in the mirror and check your own priorities. C-Cat, what was your reaction when you first saw that a guy that had a chance at making a 12-team playoff is walking out on his teammates?
What a punk. That was my first reaction because I read the headline, kind of read the tea leaves, saw the situation, saw this kid start off the season red hot, thought he should be getting paid more because he started off so hot, and then he read the article. And like, wait a second. Oh, okay. that's not the complete story.
Yeah, and that's the problem right now is we're in a world where, yeah, of course, like when something gets tweeted out, when something gets put out, it's almost like there's a demand for instant reaction. Like that's what it is in this 24/7 news cycle. And the fact that he tweeted this out at midnight and people were out here giving full soliloquies and monologues on the state of college football is that they knew what the hell was going on. The reporting continued throughout the day. We're learning more about it. And the more we learn, the more my first inclination that the actual school itself is the one that should be held accountable for this and is the one that is likely wrong in this scenario is, at least as it appears, to be in the wrong. Now, there's going to be some kind of bounce back from the school. They said that they've given him the money that they promised him. The head coach is apparently denying that the offensive coordinator can offer him that kind of a bag. But if the dude offered him that bag and he came there because of that, you got to honor it somehow. You got to find the money to do so. Maybe that's why UNLV has been trying to petition to get into the Pac-12.
Yeah, and if your OC is handing out offers in monetary form that you can't fulfill, you punish the OC,
yeah,
not the player, right? The OC is the one that gets reprimanded. And you got to pay the money, and now you're looking at the OC say, look, you cost us this $88,000 we didn't have in the budget. That's your fault. Now we got to pay this kid this amount of money. We didn't plan on doing that.
And that's the problem, too, for UNLV. I wonder if this was a bigger program, this story likely doesn't get out because forking over $88,000 more than what you assumed isn't an issue. But UNLV's not, like, attracting. I mean, I know they're in Vegas, so you might assume there's a lot of motion out there. But there's also a lot of other stuff to do. They're drawing, like, 23,000 people to the stadium on average over the past couple of years for home games.
Yeah, it's more exciting probably going to a sports book to watch all of the college football games on a Saturday rather than just watching UNLV.
I didn't even think about that. Like, Legit. Like, where else can you do that in a city that has that heavy of a population where, you just pull up to any of your favorite sports books out there and have a good day and watch it all. And, also you can, maybe get some scratch on some of those things. I just don't see how people can line up and point their guns at a kid who is using his one point of leverage to get what he was promised. And that's why I was actually utterly shocked and very disappointed in what we heard from Cordell Stewart on Unsportsmanlike this morning. Cordell Stewart, former Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, former Colorado Buff in college. He was asked on Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen, who's going to join us later on today, Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty, specifically about this, what he thought about Sluka withholding his ability to play for UNLV, redshirting and deciding to transfer somewhere else next year based on a promise that was broken. And all of a sudden, everything just became no longer about bread.
As our head coach at the University of Colorado says in his rapping debut, must be the money, right? it must be the money that's turning him out. So here's the problem with that. So he plays three games. The money's not, the bag is not right. He chooses to redshirt. Now, who's in control of the narrative for this young kid? One, he is, by letting you know what it's truly about, and also the coaching staff. So now being that he's redshirting, that means he won't play on the field again. He's hoping someone else picks him up because it's about what? It's about the bag.
When did it stop being about the bag, and why are we so selective when we're critical of that? Literally every single coach in college football has made moves based on a bigger bag to provide for themselves and their family. Also, this isn't like this is 2018 or 2019. We're living in 2024 right now. We're living in the era of name, image, and likeness where it's so pervasive, it's even trickled down into the high school ranks here. Like, it's about the bag for high school student-athletes these days as much as it is college. Why are we acting new to this? But on top of that, C-Cat, I don't understand how we could be more critical of a kid who we don't think has NFL prospects for wanting to squeeze out a bit of financial security for his ability to play the game of football before he's past the age of being able to play anymore. We're more critical of him than we are of an institution that's either not able to come up with the bread or unwilling to fulfill a promise that somebody on their staff made. Somebody's got to pay for this. And in this lawless land that is college football right now, and also when you have a deal like that that's just verbal, it's literally based on trust and one man's word. That is literally the crux of the issue. We're talking about a college football landscape that doesn't have the guardrails that it properly needs to both protect the student athlete and the colleges. And until they put those bumpers in, there's going to be a few more gutter balls that happen. Like, you can't take a poor bowler, a bad bowler out there to the bowling alley, go no bumpers and expect them to bowl strikes. Give them some guardrails, and then we can have a better, more cohesive college football landscape. If I had one word to describe what college football is right now, it's transitioning. And with change comes growing pains, and those are what we're feeling right now out of UNLV. College football in a state of transition, whether it be the conference realignment, whether it be the issue of, oh, we don't know if schools can pay players or not. They got the antitrust law that's going to be coming out. Hopefully, schools can just pay them directly and we won't have to deal with this, all this nonsense from collectives. But as it continues to transition, we're going to continue to have problems like this grow and grow. CCAT, if there's one word you can use to describe the state of college football, where are you going with that?
Blossoming. I think we're getting to a brighter other end. And there's going to be growing pains like these situations where we will have to discover these problems that were definitely forecastable. You go back 3 years and people saw things like this occurring, and they are sure occurring. These are little pieces of paper, acts being signed, people being put in positions to prevent situations like this occurring, whether it's from the NCAA level, from the conference level, or from the school level, to protect the player and to protect the university. These issues will get figured out. It's unfortunate that there will have to be student athletes that are sacrificed and burned in the process.
Yeah.
And just so happens that this quarterback at UNLV is one of those examples.
Well, he almost got burned. See, I think it would be more ridiculous and I would feel worse for him if he wasn't wise enough to, again, play the one card he has. And that's the problem, too. Like, people want to go back to the old days of college football, the nostalgia of it all, when players were powerless. And I just can't jive with that. I'm glad that there is an ability now. There are things in place for players to both use a little bit of leverage and also gain some financial security based on how well they play football. DJ Uiagalelei ain't never stepping foot on a football field for a professional organization, at least not for the National Football League. At least he got a couple of bags and NIL deals ahead of getting to Florida State.
Never going to pay for a Slurpee again. He's going to get a big gulp. He's going to get whatever you call it. He is running gas stations. Yeah. He might own a couple gas stations.
He might. And you know what? Good on him. I don't get the people that are just, number one, against players getting the bag, but also people that are so immediate, so quick to jump on the side of, like, even in professional sports, people are siding with the owners versus players. And then here in college, we have a lot of people siding with the actual institutions versus the student athletes. I will never understand that perspective. Like, whenever anything pops up like this in any sport, the player is always innocent until proven guilty. And it's the opposite for me, for the organization, for the franchise, for the institution. Like, is that a weird way to go into it?
No, it's not a weird. In fact, you can say we in college sports if you went to that university. So I understand that side of things. But
yeah,
you paid a lot of tuition to go to these universities if you went there and you're a fan of their athletics. So you almost feel like you're owed more from the university than you are a pro sports team that you root for. If that makes sense to you.
So you're saying, like, alumni of the organization or of the universities can be more critical of a player that, like Saluka. Because, again, what Saluka's doing right now is a bit selfish if you feel like you have stock in UNLV, because he is withholding his ability to play so that he can attain a bag that don't got to come out of your wallet, so you ain't tripping. You're like, nah, get your ass out there and play for my team.
I'm saying the other way around. Okay. I'm saying you have grounds to expect more from the organization because you paid that organization to be who they are now.
So you should hold them more accountable.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and that's true too. And then also even for fans of professional teams, like, it's not like y'all are, you know, it's not cheap being a fan. How much did that Justin Tucker jersey cost you?
Ask China. It didn't buy from the NFL.
All right, well, never mind. I guess the Ravens didn't see any of that scrap as well. But again, what is your one word? That's the easiest way to kind of phrase all of this right now, because we are all struggling to figure out not only what is college football right now, but also what is it going to be in the near future. And in our YouTube chat right here, again, presented by Prize Picks, theoretically speaking, on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and tap in. Deion says, talk that talk. She says talk that talk. And the reason why I'm talking that talk right now about college football is because there's a lot of people that are doing the opposite. They're talking that talk on behalf of the organizations, of the governing bodies, and of the schools. And I do believe I am one of those people that was put in this place maybe to stand on behalf of players. So damn it, I'm doing so. College football right now is in a state of transition. Transitioning is the word I would use to deliver what the one word is that describes college football. And I'm curious what yours is. Hit us up right here on the Baptist Health Hotline on Theoretically Speaking, 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. One word to describe college football today. One word I would also use as a Canes fan right now is cathartic. Feels good. Feels good that the Canes are back on top right now. Whenever the Canes are back on top, it's always good vibes in college football. Penn State, how you? Yeah.
Feeling good, yeah, optimistic, solid. But cautiously, because I know where this road leads.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of what it is. That's kind of what it is. That's how most Canes fans have been thinking. I think it's different with Cam Ward. Hit us up, though, on the Baptist Health Hotline. One word to describe college football today. And also, who's in the wrong here, UNLV or the quarterbacks, Luka, who decided, I ain't playing if you ain't paying? Baptist Health Hotline, are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Again, the number is 888-760-3776. Tap in on the Baptist Health Hotline. What is your one word to describe college football right now? And we both agree, C-Cat, it's just in a state right now of growth. It's in a state, yes, of change. And that's going to have its issues that come out. But I do hope there aren't other people. Because you know, if there's one situation right here where Sluka steps up and stands up for herself, there's probably dozens of other ones across the nation where players were promised one thing, not delivered said bag, and did not feel they had the power within themselves or within their representation to actually withhold their services. They're going to probably play out the season and let these colleges get away with being ambiguous,
yeah,
and being deceiving.
Because if you play this season getting paid 10% what you thought you were going to get paid, you're only letting yourself down. And I think it's easier to let yourself down than it is the rest of your team,
yeah,
and the school and the fans and even the coaching staff who let you down. It's a lot easier to let yourself down than it is to everyone surrounding you. And by holding out, starting quarterback, playing great this year, beat a couple of Big 12 teams, looking
on
the inside track of a college football playoff berth, to say, you know what? It's the right thing to do. Believe it or not, it's to let everybody else down because they're in the wrong and I'm not.
That's a sacrifice he's making, not only to his reputation, but also his competitive nature as a football player. He's making a huge sacrifice as well. Now, of course, it's for his own gain, but I do think that there's other kids out there that are watching him do that, and we are early enough in the season where there can be some copycats. I would expect that. I would expect there to be more of these stories that actually come out now that he was brave enough to step out and do it himself.
So by stepping out, what does he specifically gain from that? The fact that he can get this year of eligibility, yeah, back and play for what he believes he's valued for in 2025?
He gets another year of eligibility next year to play for a program that stands by its word, is worth its own salt. He gets that. But then also, he also loses the risk of having to deal with the ambiguity, because another part of this story that Pete Thamel outlined here on ESPN.com is apparently as they've been reaching out to the multiple people that would be in charge of getting him this money, they've been giving him very like wait and see type answers. They've been doing that for a while. Before the season started, they've been, hey, we got you, just enroll. And then, hey, we got you, just play football. And now they've gotten to a point where it's, hey, we got you, just keep on trudging along. And I think he looked up and he said, hey, there's only one last thing. There's one red button I can push right now. And that was always going to be to withhold his playing services. And he did so. It was the right move for him. It was his only move. And if there was another way for him to attack it, then I would say, you know, I would assume they would have tried to go about that way, but it seems like based on what his agent, his father, and what this story outlines here on ESPN.com is they tried other avenues and the school was not budging because they knew they were in power.
Hmm.
It's like that.
It is like that. I think people sometimes when they criticize the player in these situations, they are stuck in the past where the ideal nature of college football is stuck in 2004 before any of the conference realignment and all that happened, where they played for love of the game. Newsflash, we're not back then.
It's over.
We're two decades in the future, and these are now employees.
And how corny are you for being out there trying to criticize a little 23-year-old dude trying to make some scratch based on how good of a football player he is? On the other side, we're going to bring in Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. He's going to jump in, but before we do that, we do have to hit the phone lines again. Your take on what's happening right now in UNLV and college football. Who we got here on line one?
We got Chris in Palm Beach Gardens.
Chris is in Palm Beach Gardens. You're on Theoretically Speaking. Chris, what's one word you would use to describe college football today?
Oh, insane. Insane would be it. And, Theo, I think I'm one of the corny ones. Can we first agree that we can never, ever use the term student-athlete ever again?
No.
Please.
Yeah, it's done. But who was the one that made us use that term, though? Let's remember who made us use that term, the NCAA and the very people that didn't want to pay the athletes in the first place. They were pushing that agenda.
Okay. Okay, I do have a question I don't know the answer to. Don't they have to petition the NCAA for a redshirt year? And what if the NCAA says, no, I'm not giving you a year just because you decided to quit on your team?
I don't necessarily know if the NCAA has to approve red shirts or not. I'm not sure what that process looks like, but I doubt the NCAA would get involved in that and like step in the way. I think if a player has the power to choose the red shirt, they're not going to step in and muddy it up even more. That would look terrible on them as a governing and organizing body.
So last point, let's say that the offensive linemen who are getting whatever they get were on board with this guy and said, listen, we're all quitting unless you pay this guy. Now you've lost your whole offensive line and your quarterback because you wanted to give some verbal agreement on a little bit of money.
Right. And I appreciate the call. That's actually a good point. I appreciate the call on that. That's a good point, C-Cat. I do think that what he's referencing there would be like an act of solidarity, like they're all going on strike. But the problem is those offensive linemen don't have the same leverage that the quarterback would have. And they can threaten to do that. And what if the team is just like, all right, go ahead, redshirt, or quit, or stop playing? They're not going to get the offers in the transfer portal next year because they're going to look like guys that just quit on their team versus that quarterback. Because of how talented he is, there's likely going to be a team that is going to pull the trigger and bring him in.
I guess it would have to be these players unionizing. Is that what it sounds like? We're fighting for rights? And it would be, we know that you, UNLV, are trying to move conferences, try to maybe go to the Pac-12, that new conference, even though it's just the Mountain West reforming.
That's not the Pac-12.
Exactly.
You got to go with a new name.
It's not going to look too great to admit you guys if all of your starters are sitting out because you don't got your money right.
It would be a terrible look on the school, but it also is a huge risk on behalf of those offensive linemen because, again, they don't have the name, image, likeness deals lined up for them. Apparently, his pop said that they had like 25 other deals from other Power 5 schools when he was in the transfer portal coming out of Holy Cross. So apparently he had some options. I doubt the offensive linemen for UNLV have those kind of options. So it would be more of a risk. And also the dude has only been there for like 6 months. I'm not sure if he has the confidence and the backing of his guys like that.
Do you think the image of the quarterback who's sitting out because he's not getting the money he's paid, are the players on his side or are they not?
That's going to be the most interesting thing that comes out of this is what is the reaction from these players when they get behind microphones over this next week, when they go out and play on Saturday? Like, what are they going to say about the situation? I would hope they at the very least don't criticize him, but I do not blame them for feeling like they got left out stranded because, again, they had hopes from within those walls, from within that locker room, that they could actually play in the college football playoff. I don't think they're doing so without Sluka at quarterback.
Yeah, and they're not in the money-making positions either.
Nope.
So it's not like they can really relate to the situation, a quarterback who transferred from Holy Cross to UNLV for a six-figure perceived deal.
Yeah.
They can't relate to that.
But you also can't be pocket-watching and get mad. Same as in the NFL when guys are holding out of camp to get their bread. You hear this from veterans all the time that are now in the media game, like our guy Chris Canty this morning. And you also sometimes will hear from players themselves, don't get in the way of another guy trying to build leverage to get some wealth for his family and for himself. You never want to be the person that's standing out and criticizing one of your brethren. We're going to bring in Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike on the other side here. He's going to give us some insight on where he thinks the state of college football is, who's in the wrong between UNLV and the quarterback who decided, you know, Matt Sluka, I'm not playing if you're not paying. And then also, there's two quarterback situations in the NFL with two shining rookies. I'm curious to him which one would mean more if they do pan out the way that those franchises would like. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. Evan Cohen on the other side. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
You know what's better than one championship, CCAT?
Two.
Definitely. How about 22 as well, though? Because that's what Kaiser University has. But I would say, yeah, back-to-back championships would be great for the Kaiser football team, which is still undefeated this year. They're still doing it big. I cannot say that I am a Seahawk. I will say this, though. Just like the football team, I train on the campus of Kaiser University.
Mm-hmm.
I tune up my golf game. When's the last time you hit the links?
It's been a while, man. Yeah. It's been more than a week. So that's a lot for me.
That is a lot for you who golfs often. And I train more than I actually hit the links these days. If you want to be like a champion and train like a champion, hit up the all-new Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. They've got the best facilities in all of the area. We're talking indoor and outdoor. You see how often the skies will just open out here in South Florida and we'll get flooding, pouring rain. That's why they have a 2,000-square-foot indoor training area with hitting bays, cutting-edge technology, and everything you need to train like a pro. But also, you got the chipping and putting area outside, the driving range as well, and you got some of the most elite coaches when it comes to tuning up your golf game in all of the area. The Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center in the heart of Palm Beach County, right off I-95 in the Turnpike. Find out more at kaisergolfcenter.com. Stop waiting to get better. Stop putting off training your game. Get better with the Seahawks and train like a pro. Speaking of pros, man, this dude here, the consummate professional, Evan Cohen, the inevitable, who can't seem to stay off the airwaves of ESPN 106.3, but we love having him weekly, the host of Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman, and he pulls up on a Wednesday. Evan, how have you been, man? We actually haven't talked in a full week. Usually there's like a little text banner throughout. Have you been good? Is everything kicking?
Good point. Yeah, bad job by us.
Yeah.
I mean, that both works both ways, right? Sometimes I'll reach out, sometimes you'll reach out. Like, are we on the rocks? Are we breaking up? What's happening to us?
I don't know. It's, you know, life is lifing. Life is happening. I just was actually talking to CCAT about how now I've started to evolve out here in Palm Beach County in the Treasure Coast as I don't want to say this out loud, but a local celebrity. So, and CCAT agreed. So maybe that's just me getting in the way of me. I won't get too starry-eyed over myself, Evan. I got to remember my roots, and I got to start reaching back out to you. I did hear on Unsportsmanlike this morning.
Wow.
Oh, you want to address that first?
Wow.
You want to address that first?
I mean, Kendrick Lamar says stay humble, right? Like, oh, my God.
Well,
wow.
I'm not this is not at all for me to be pumping my own back. The only reason why I say this is we got this event coming up tomorrow. It is with the United Way. It is to raise money for the United Way, and it's a celebrity bartending challenge. And guess who's one of the bartenders?
Not CCAT.
Yeah, it's your boy.
Next year.
Next year, we're going to get next year we're gonna get CCAT in the fold as well. But that's going to be tomorrow at the Safe Harbor out here in Riviera Beach. So I'll be making up some cocktails for people. I know you don't drink, Evan, but just support us virtually. Maybe you just send in a little donation to United Way and get things kicking that way. Today, though, Evan.
Interesting what you're doing here. Got it. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, just throwing some stuff around here early on with you.
We'll talk about how big the donation is tomorrow.
Yeah.
On the air. We'll see how many zeros are on there.
We will announce that very loud and clear. Evan, this morning on a Sportsmanlike, y'all had Cordell Stewart on. He's a former college football player, obviously, for the Colorado Buffs, former Steelers quarterback. He commented on the situation that's happening out of UNLV where Matthew Sluka is withholding his playing rights. He's redshirting because he says UNLV did not give him the bag he was promised. C-Cat and I agree. This is just one of the ailments. This is one of the results of college football being in a state of transition where they don't have the proper guardrails in place for both the student athlete and the schools right now. What's one word that you would use to describe college football today, though? Because it feels a bit lawless. Obviously, with deals like this, it feels like untrustworthy. But I'm just going to say transitioning, and these are the kind of growing pains that come along with it.
Yeah, I think that's a good word. I would say, and the word I'm going to give you, Theo, is going to come off negative, but I don't mean it to be, so I'll explain. But I'll give my one word. College football today, relative to what you're talking about, is confused. Because it's like we all understand, obviously, that many of these student-athletes should be compensated for their value, right? The way that they're supposed to get compensated is not necessarily, even though I don't care about this, pay for play. In other words, I don't believe the nature of what NIL is, hey, Cam Ward hits free agency from Washington State and he goes to the U for a dollar, whatever the money, you know, $1 million, yeah. $2 million, whatever it is, right? I actually don't think that's the way that they have intended for this to happen. But because of the fact they don't have any rules, regulations, or contracts, they are confused as to how to operate. Because this one UNLV situation, I think, is going to spark a million questions. And one of the things that I brought up this morning on Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. here on the ESPN 106.3, is the Cam Ward example. What if Cam Ward's like, you know what? I'm a first-round pick. I'm a Heisman candidate. I already made whatever I made off of Miami, and yet I've already outperformed my contract. In order for me to play against Cal, I need a mill. Because whatever I got ain't enough.
See,
then what?
That I think that is a risk, but that because that's not what happened with the UNLV situation, at least reportedly, what we're getting from Pete Thamel and all the other information that's coming out.
Oh, no, that is not not what happened, Theo. What I'm saying to you is what happened in that one is an overpromise and an underdeliver, yeah. And as a result, the player in this case said, well, you haven't lived up to your end of the bargain, so we are no longer in partnership or financial agreement as quote-unquote employer and employee, right? That's separate. What I'm saying is now, as a result of that, where my mind has gone, is the window is now open for the interesting idea. Mm. If you want more and you can get more, threatening your playing time is a way to do it. You like Jimmy Butler wants a contract extension, right? As we know.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler can't just be like, if you don't give me a contract extension, I'm not playing and you're still going to pay me the money and then I'm going to hit free agency. That's not the way pro sports works. The contract then rolls into the next year. So he still is always going to have 1 year left with a player option. It just then goes over to that next year. In this case, let's just use the Cam Ward. Cam Ward could be like, you don't give me $1 million by next week, I'm just going to go to the NFL. Mm. And what NFL team is going to be scared off by that? None of them. So to your point, this now opens up a whole can of worms, even though that's not the exact thing that happened with UNLV. Tell me why that can't happen the way that I just threw it out there at you.
You're not wrong. It can happen. And that is, we've already seen small, you know, tidbits of this. Think about players withholding their services from playoff games, or not playoff games, but bowl games at the end of the year. Like that can trickle down into a guy that maybe doesn't feel like you have a real shot at the 12-team playoff. You're in the playoff and you decide not to play. It also, like you said, could be a leverage opportunity for a player trying to get more money out of a school. I do think the difference is, though, I don't think we would look at that player as, like, I think that the spotlight on that player would be a lot more negative as to what we're starting to learn about Matt Sluka, and it's a lot more, like, we're giving it more leeway. Like, that would be a crazy move to make mid-season to try and withhold for more money, like, especially if you already agreed upon a dollar amount and they paid you that much. Like, you're in the wrong at that point.
Right, but you're right, and yeah. it would spin negatively. But at the same time,
dang,
you asked me for the word. I said confused because I don't know that you wouldn't be allowed to do that because there's no contract. Like again, in the Cam Ward scenario, you could say, "Hey, they already agreed to that. They did verbally. They didn't contractually." I mean, I don't. Not to get too deep, but like at ESPN West Palm, there aren't like formal contracts as much as there are
agreements.
Agreements, yeah. Right? Like Yeah, if Theo, you wanted to theoretically, pun intended, walk across the street and get a $50 sandwich, but if you want to walk across the street figuratively, Good Karma Brands, parent company for ESPN West Palm, would allow that. And the reason that we allow that is we don't want hostages, we want volunteers, right? We want people to be a part of this. But it's different in this case because you're not walking across the street. You're walking up the stairs in this regard. You're going to a higher level. In the Cam Ward example, or even in the UNLV quarterback example, he's going to end up at a bigger school, right? He's taking the elevator up.
Yeah.
He's not walking to BYU, no offense. You get what I'm saying in this?
Yeah, no, or Toledo. Yeah, he's not going to this is my second straight day just belittling the Toledo fan base. But, yeah, he's going – likely to a program that is going to be able to probably afford $100K if they agree to that number. I do, again, though, think it's the one thing, the one asterisk, the one caveat in all of this, Evan, which we haven't really discussed, is Jimmy Butler can hold out during the season, similar to Ben Simmons, similar to other athletes in the past, and all they got to do is say, oh, my back hurts. And that, I'm not sure, hasn't either already gone on in college football or isn't always actively happening in the pros anyway. So there still is that loophole of the quote-unquote injury that athletes have to leverage themselves over organizations, and I don't think that's going anywhere.
That's true. You're right about that. Absolutely right. But again, in the pro game, because there's contracts, because there's the highest level, because you can't just like leave the Charlotte Hornets to go to the Heat because it's a better organization – it's different. In this specific case, with this player, he didn't receive what he thought was promised to him. As a result, someone else made a better promise, and he's out, and it's more likely than not that UNLV turns into, for lack of a better idea, Alabama, right? And that's a step up, not a step across the street. Here's my knock on this player. I don't know anything about him. I never heard of him before today. I'm not going to sit here and argue and pretend like I know about this guy, right, Theo? My knock on him is, why did you ever play a single game if you didn't get what you were supposed to get?
Mm. And that's the thing, too, is apparently they said that he had been told, hey, just wait and we got you. Hey, just wait and we got you. That's what his father and his agent are saying now.
But then why didn't they get him? Like, why it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to redshirt and I'm going to leave if you don't give it to me by this date, or at least give me an installment. Like, this is a mess. I just think it totally opens up a can of worms that is going to go all over the place. Because your playoff example you brought up is a really interesting one. Like, 12-team playoff, Georgia, Carson Beck, quarterback. If he's just like, hey, if you want me to play in the playoff, I need another million for postseason.
Hey, that's actually crazy.
What happened?
And especially in this time of transition, that's something that could realistically happen and that we will realistically be discussing down the road. I also wonder how many players currently in college football are out there who are promised deals, who didn't get that money, but are still playing because they're afraid of the backlash. They're afraid of the sacrifice they would have to make to be as brave to come out and do what Sluka did. So there's a little bit of both happening here.
That is, Theo, that is a phenomenal point you just made. I don't want to liken it to other courageous acts of opening doors. That's not what I would consider this. But I would say that anyone now doesn't have to be first.
Yeah. And we're going to definitely clip that part where you said I made an excellent point. We're going to make sure we run that back all throughout our programming on our commercials. One last thing I do want from you, Evan. I'm curious. I've been looking at the Caleb Williams situation with the Bears, Jaden Daniels with the Commanders. Both franchises have a very rough history of franchise quarterbacks over the past three decades or so. Which fan base do you think it would mean more to, between Daniels or Williams, for them to finally break that chain, break that curse? And for the Commanders, Bears, it would be more so staying out of injury, whereas Caleb Williams just being a good quarterback.
Bears, not even close.
Yeah.
Remember, the Commanders found a way to win multiple Super Bowls with multiple quarterbacks over the course of time. Doug Williams, Jay Schrader, others. They won Super Bowls over the course of time. The Bears haven't won anything in forever. They haven't had a quarterback in forever, and they are dying for one. And they went number one overall. That I think would mean more to the Bears if they got their guy.
hoping Caleb Williams does pan out, because there's a lot of YouTube videos with me talking about how prolific his rookie season will be. And three games in, I am a little bit nervous, Evan. Appreciate your time. We'll catch up next week, and I'll make sure I text you in between here so we don't feel like we're you know, losing our edge there.
Good. I like it. Thank you, Tia.
That's our guy, Evan Cohen, from Unsportsmanlike. Grateful as always to have him pull up here and deliver some thoughts, some insight. You can catch on Sportsmanlike 6 to 10 a.m. here on ESPN 106.3 and CKET. I don't think that there is a he raises a good point there about like a Cam Ward or Carson Beck actually trying to withhold playing at that level, but I don't think that there's as much like an injury risk for a quarterback. I don't think is as great as an injury risk for a positional player, especially if you're already a projected first round quarterback. So I don't see that happening with those kind of guys, but maybe like a left end or a wide receiver or something that feels like their stock could fall. It's not out of the realm of possibility, man.
No, it's not. But you know what actually makes me mad? It makes me sad at the same time. Evan didn't say goodbye to me.
He didn't?
No.
I saw y'all kind of yucking it up on the phone there when you got him on the phone. Like, y'all talked for like a good 45 seconds. It's a little long to screen a call.
It's big bro. And I take the phone up every time he says goodbye to you, and I say goodbye to him. Maybe tell the kids I said hi, and he hung up immediately.
Wow.
How busy is he that he couldn't take 5 seconds to say, see you, man?
You know what? That's what we'll address that next week. Matter of fact, yeah, we'll address that before next week. I got to get to him on that right now, because you're not going to disrespect CKET here.
Thank you.
In the studio that Evan Cohen built. And then named after himself. Yeah, because I think it was his decision. We'll talk about that at another point. One thing that Evan didn't get his name on is the annual Boca Raton Bowl. What's pulling up back to us in December here. December 18th is the date for the game. But the great thing about the Boca Bowl is it's not just about the game. It's also about the lead-in events, including the Boca Raton Bowl's ABC Supply Great Chefs Tailgate Showcase presented by Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group. That heats up Tuesday, October 15th. Tuesday, October 15th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Join myself and the team at Brick in Boca Raton. We're going to have dozens of local chefs, breweries, cocktail masters, and the whole nine. They're going to be serving their favorite tailgate classics. Tickets are already on sale. It includes food samplings, entertainment, beer, wine, cocktails, soft drinks. What more could you ask for? Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events. And you can purchase your tickets today. We have, CKET, some trivia. Some theoretically speaking trivia for the good people.
Yeah, we do, Theo.
You thought I would forget, huh?
I did think you were going to forget.
I'm amazing.
And you're kind of on a heater right now. And I kind of want to let you cool off.
Okay, that's cool.
I'm giving you a pump fake. Because I want to do the trivia after the break this time.
Oh, okay, okay. I like that. So you're teasing the fact that we're going to have a trivia question.
Yeah.
And I would dare answer your tease by saying you don't have a trivia question prepared.
No, so I have it. I lost it. I accidentally closed a tab on the thing. We'll get to
We'll go to it on the other side. That's CKET. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're theoretically speaking and theoretically going to do some trivia on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
We're about to hit the favorite part of the show for everybody, literally the safe bound get around. But first, we have to address some more breaking news in this UNLV versus Matt Saluka NIL pay for play scandal. A tweet here from Pete Thamel of ESPN, who has the story on ESPN.com. A statement from UNLV Athletics. It says, football player Matthew Saluka's representatives made financial demands upon the university and its NIL collective in order to continue playing. UNLV Athletics interpreted these demands as a violation of the NCAA pay-for-play rules, as well as Nevada state law. UNLV does not engage in such activity, nor does it respond to implied threats. UNLV has honored all previously agreed upon scholarships for Matthew Saluka. UNLV has conducted its due diligence and will continue to operate its programs within the framework of NCAA rules and regulations, as well as Nevada state laws. CKET, they're not wrong here. They're not allowed technically right now to pay players directly. And though they're the ones that made the promise, they're supposed to get paid through the collective.
Right.
This whole thing is screwed up.
Just wants a bigger slice of the pie.
He wants the slice of the pie that he was promised, apparently. Apparently promised $100,000, and UNLV has given him $3,000 of that $1,000 and have promised him up to $12,000. That's $88,000 less. I don't mean to sound crude here.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around. With your broke ass.
That's how I feel about the UNLV football program right now.
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, bro, you can't come up with $88K for your starting quarterback that's about to lead you to the college football playoff, a guy that you apparently promised that money to? You can't come up with $88,000. You don't deserve to be talking about you want to go to the Pac-12 or change conferences. You need to figure out stuff within your own walls and also keep your assistant coaches in line, because he's the one that made that promise according to Sluka and his representatives.
From what I understand about that football team, Sluka in a quarterback, the guy who's demanding the money or he's going to sit out, if he doesn't play, they won't make the playoff. If he does play, they have a much greater chance to making the college football playoff. Making the college football 12-team playoff is worth so much more than $88,000 in brand value.
See the bigger picture. Also, just literally the revenue you've taken as a school from making the college football playoff. There's revenue incentives tied to that, attached to that, not just for your conference, but for you. Be smart. Don't try to get into big boy football if you ain't got big boy pockets. Broke. How you broke in Vegas? That's like the number one rule. Don't be broke in Vegas. Last place you want to be broke. What's our first stop here on the Safebound Get Around?
Next stop.
First stop of the Safebound Get Around, because you are always safe with Safebound. Boston, Massachusetts. NBA Finals champion Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla told Jason Tatum that he was happy that Tatum did not win the Finals MVP and that Tatum got benched during the Olympics.
Trying to humble the young fella. He deserved to get that stuff too. Remember when he said Miami's always easy, though that's a lie? Like, Tatum's kind of getting a little too big for his britches. He's starting to smell himself, and I hope that the Heat and other teams in the East put him back in his, I don't want to say put him back in his place. That sounds a little reductive. But they got to G-check him, because he's getting a little too big for his britches, dog. I'm with it.
Yeah, he likes his guy being hungry.
Hell yeah.
I guess now Jason Tatum has more personal goals that he did not check off last year.
Did you see what Jaylen Brown said about, like, how when they play, like, teams like the Pistons this year, they're going to, like, run the offense through Peyton Pritchard?
Yes.
That was disrespectful. These dudes are really trying to go on some kind of victory tour, some kind of celebration lap here, and I really do hope that they get put in their place in the East, because they've been knocking on the door for 8-9 years. They finally got one, and now they're insufferable, just like that 08 Celtics team. It's something about winning a championship for the Celtics that makes you just terrible to be around.
Next stop.
We're going to Los Angeles, California for some baseball talk.
Oh, man.
The Padres have one of the most exhilarating ways to clinch a postseason berth on the road versus their heated rival Dodgers last night. Top of the ninth, leading by two. Go ahead, run at the plate. Otani on deck for the Dodgers. Nobody out. Take it away. Don Orsillo, the voice of the Padres.
Rojas on the ground to third. Machado touches third. Fires to second. Out there. Out at first. Oh, my goodness. It's a triple play. It ends the ball game. The San Diego Padres have clinched their spot in the postseason after a magical 2024 campaign. Will this finally be the year for the faithful? A triple play to end the game and send the Padres to the postseason. It doesn't get any better than that.
Now, that would have me feeling like we're a team of destiny if you do something like that. It's pretty cool.
He said it doesn't get any better than that. Can you imagine a better way to clinch the postseason? Is that the best way to win a baseball game?
Walk-off Grand Slam, baby. Walk-off Grand Slam. That's all. Like, give me a walk-off homer any day of the week. Way better than a triple play.
I guess the ultimate Grand Slam when you're down by three, two outs, and you hit a Grand Slam.
Hell yeah.
That is nice.
Full count.
But you see home runs all the time. You see walk-off home runs almost every single night in baseball. Give me a steal a home. That takes a risk from a player where if they get gunned down, they look like the stupidest man on earth. But if they get it, they've got all of the clout.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, that's more exciting than a home run. But like, all right, imagine being the person that caught that walk-off grand slam. Like, now you got a little souvenir as well. Yeah, a fan.
All right.
So you can't catch a dude. I mean, literally, if he gets caught stealing, then you lose. So you can't have a souvenir from that. I'm still sticking with my Grand Slam. Way more fun, and it takes longer. It develops through the air. It's a lot of excitement building up and cheering.
I guess so.
Stealing home is just like, boom.
Next stop.
You like that baseball topic? Well, newsflash, buddy, we got another one. Safe-bound get-around is Oakland, California. Kind of the last time we can say that about baseball in that city, because the A's had their last home game at the Coliseum last night, and it ended like this.
To Jacob Wilson. This one's going to get through. Zach Gallen.
You hear that? That crowd sounded more excited than the crowd that just clinched the playoff berth. Give me the A's way of winning every single time.
If you are a fan of the Oakland A's and you live in Oakland, that's why you're a fan of the team, yeah. Do you stick with them? Are you continuing to be an A's fan, or you're a free agent?
What else you got? What else you got, man? Like, if you have another team you've been angling to leave the A's for, then sure. But what else do you have if you're an A's fan? I don't think baseball is one of those sports that makes sense for you to regionally up and go. You can get to Vegas quicker than you can get to any other. Well, I guess you can go to San Francisco.
Yeah, but you just consider all those California teams your rivals. So you can't just flip immediately.
How much of a rival is it between the A's and the Giants? It's got to be big.
Yeah, it is.
Got to be big. I don't know.
So just Dub Nation year-round now, just all basketball.
I was about to say, lean in on basketball. If you're an A's fan that lives in Oakland, lean in on basketball. Stay safe out there walking around, because dudes is getting robbed left and right. That's first and foremost. And yeah, maybe you wait to see who you fall in love with next. I hear the Paul Skeens guy is turning Cardinals fans into what is he with, the Pirates?
Yeah.
Pirates fans as well. So maybe that's the guy that you fall in love with.
As promised, we've got trivia.
Finally.
I told you I had it. I didn't have it pulled up. I accidentally deleted the tab. It's up now.
It's Cap. So let's see how convoluted this question is, and then we'll judge whether or not you had it and close the tab.
So if it's not convoluted and not complex, then I probably just looked it up.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because you would remember the question. You wouldn't need a tab up. So what's the question? What's the trivia question? We'll judge as an audience.
So we all know how 24 has been posted in the locker room of the Dolphins by Mike McDaniel, because the Dolphins had the longest postseason win drought in all of pro sports. It's the Miami Dolphins at 24 years. My question for you, Theo, in the NFL, who has the second longest playoff win drought?
Damn, I thought you were going to ask who had it last, and I was going to say the Lions, and then you, yeah, okay. All right, we'll get that then. We'll get that on the other side. The longest tenure team, or second longest tenure team in the NFL that has not won a playoff game, not named the Dolphins, and I'm sure the streak is much shorter than what they have. And on the other side, it's the happy hour with Tina. She pulls up, we kick it, we cheers to some drinks. Theoretically speaking, got the trivia answer on the other side on ESPN 106.3.